by God from the country of Ur. Okay, if you look at that, where's my geography? I see no volunteers. Okay. So you see the Euphrates River, the Tigris River, Tigris River. It's all dumping into the Persian Gulf there in the right-hand corner. Ur is in part of the area that's called the Fertile Crescent. It's also southern Iraq. So it's been around for a while. The history on Ur as a country goes back to approximately 3600 BC or earlier. So it's been around for a while. It comes from Sumeria, which is the first actual civilization that we know of for that time. So you can see there's Kish, there's Babylon. They've actually located Babylon. They've been doing the dig on Babylon now for the last 50-60 years. You know, that was part of the Chaldean dynasty in the country. But Ur, in the middle of nowhere, when you look at it, because as you look at Assyria, Ur down at the bottom, where's Israel? Where is Israel? Israel is way up over to the left, the central left. I don't have a laser. I wish I had a laser. Zzz. So exist yet. Just not even a thought. All Abraham knows is that this guy called God has shown up in his life. Now think about Abram. He's the land of Chaldeans. He's in the country of Ur. He's an idolater. He worships false gods. He has no clue as to who God is. And all of a sudden, God just shows up to him one day. Says, Abraham, or Abram, I'm going to make you the father of all nations. Now, let's put this into a little bit more of the historical context. We've already had Cain and Abel. We've already had the flood. All that part of that early 13 or 14 chapters of Genesis have already occurred. He shows up. Abraham shows up in chapter 15. God comes to him and says, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. You're going to have descendants like the sand on the beach, like the stars in the sky. You can't count them. Have you ever wondered why God chose Abram? He's just some guy. Other gods, country. It's about as far away from Israel as you can be, or where Israel is going to be. But God chose him for some reason. And the Bible's very ambiguous about it. It doesn't say, here's why he himself was picked. He just. All right. So in one of the scriptures here that we read, we looked at, let's go to Matthew. Who wants to pick up a Bible and read something for me? Let's go to Matthew. Jenny, would you do that for us? Where's the mic at? Who's got the mic? John? Let's just say, let's start around verse 14 through 17. Matthew 1, 14 through 17.
All right, this is Matthew 1, starting with verse 14. This is a whole bunch of genealogies. Azor, the father of Zadok. Zadok, the father of Akim. Akim, the father of Eliud. Eliud, the father of Eleazar. Eleazar, the father of Mathan. Mathan, the father of Jacob. And Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Thus, there were 14 generations in all, from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exile to Babylon, and 14 from the exile to the Christ.
Perfect. Thank you very much. So how many generations? 42. How many kids do you think that was? More than we can afford. Okay? But the point is, thank you very much, Jenny. Don't know yet. But the point is that that was partial fulfillment of can't be counted. It's the number of the sand, the number of granules, it's the number of stars. God came to Abraham and said, you're going to make a great nation. So God offered the promise, but what did Abraham have to do? What did Abraham have to do?
Obey.
He had to obey. Very good. He had to obey. He had to accept the promise. He could have said no. Honestly, he could have said no. He could have said, no way, no how. I like my lifestyle. I'm in Ur. I'm next to the Euphrates. I'm next to the Tigris, the Persian Gulf, or whatever it was called at the time. I'm happy. But for some reason, God chose him. Now let's bring it to modern day. Think of yourself. Do you ever wonder why God chose you to be part of the family of God? I do. Not about you, but about me. Yeah, I don't worry about you guys. You know. But me, you know, I go, Lord, what was it that you saw that you offered me the gift of salvation? God offered it. Now, there's kind of a paradox that goes on here. Because in your salvation, or when you're going to move in obedience, God comes to you in the form of the Holy Spirit and says, hey, have you thought about being a Christian? Have you thought about getting saved? Have you thought about doing whatever the act is going to be? So he prompts you. He's already encouraging you. He's already pushing you a little bit. Some of us, he grabs by the collar and pulls this way. But he's already prompting you. And then he gives you, here's the promise. And then you either reject it or accept it. Now, God, I talked about this last week, and I've talked about this different times. There's three responses to prayer. Yes, no, and maybe. Or maybe wait. That's the maybe part. Are you doing that to God right now? Are you going, yes, no, or maybe not now? Yeah. Are there things going on in your life right now, God's going, hey, I've got a really cool promise for you, but you've got to accept it. But you're, those of us that are calculating, risk-taking, all that sort of thing, you're going, do I really want to do this? Because it's going to cost me some of my freedom. It might cost me, and I have to obey, and I have to do something I don't want to do. But what does it say? And let's see. I need somebody else to go. Wayne, if you'll do this. Go to Genesis 15. And it's the part where... Okay, we're still on. And it's the part where God has come to Abraham, and he's saying, I have all these promises for you. And Abraham does something very interesting. So, Wayne, when you find it, go ahead and read that, will you please?
From the very beginning, 15.
Let's see. It's not 15. It's going to be... Go to chapter 12. It's right at the beginning of chapter 12.
The Lord had said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abraham went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abraham traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Morah at Sichem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him.
You can stop there. Thank you. So the Lord, if you look at the first verses there of chapter 12, the Lord says, here's my promises to you. And then on top of that, Abraham didn't reject. He took the promises and he said, I will obey the Lord. Now, it doesn't say that he said, here I am, send me. It just that he acted on it and he obeyed. How many times is the Lord asking you to do the same thing? He offers you the promise. He wants you to act on it, but you delay or you tarry. I've shared this with you. I'm 13 years old. My Lutheran pastor is coming to my mom saying, Dave should consider being a pastor. And what have I told you? Oh, heck no. I am 13. I am full of hormones. It's the mid-60s. It's the decade of free love. I want to go to Vietnam. I have all these other things that I want to do. So here we are, 50 years later, I'm up here in this pulpit. Now, there was quite a life journey in there. And how much different would my life have been if I'd have said yes right on the spot? But I didn't. Now, the Lord didn't chastise me for it. But I've certainly had some interesting adventures of things I've done that I shouldn't have done, and I've paid for it. And I think each one of us has that same life story. There are some things we've each done that perhaps we shouldn't have done, or we could have done better or in a different way. Am I not right? Anybody else in the same committee with me? Yeah. Okay, we've all been there. That's part of being human. But God made a promise to Abraham, and he took it. God gives you promises. Should you take it? By all means, yes. Do it. Now, he may say, yes, go for it. And then at the same time, he'll say, but it's not time yet. But it is going to happen.
Yeah, let's go to the story about Hagar.
Who's Hagar? Who is Hagar? Wrong Hagar. Where's the mic? Okay. So Janice, we're going to give you the mic because this is an important story of God had made the promise to Abraham, but Abraham screwed it up. Let me be very blunt. He messed up the promise. He did things out of order. What did he do?
He had married Hagar as well as Sarah.
Okay, so who's his first wife?
Sarah.
He is very old, so his body's as good as dead. It says that Sarah's womb is dead.
Right.
But yet there was the promise of you're going to have many generations, can't count it, that are going to come from this. He's going, look, I'm 99 years old. I don't know what you're talking about. Hagar, she's equally old. Things, procreation's just not going to happen. So what does Sarah do?
She has him marry her as well and sleep with her. And then
she was the handmaiden, right?
Right.
She
wanted to have control of the son.
So was he acting in the promise of God or not?
No.
So what's the name of the son that comes from Hagar?
Ishmael.
Now, here's the interesting thing. Ishmael should not have happened because God wanted Abraham to wait on the promise. It was going to happen. He just needed to be faithful and wait and be patient. Do you have a problem with patience?
Yes.
Yeah. All of you should be raising your hands. Yeah, all of you. Okay, group hug. Raise your hands. Okay. So we have a problem with patience. He wanted it to happen quickly. Sarah did not help the situation any. Because, ladies, I'm going to ask you directly, what is it like when you've got more than one woman in the house? Daughters does not matter. Does it get a little chaotic in the house? What do you think happened to Abraham? It got seriously chaotic. So now, because he didn't follow the promise properly and be patient and wait, chaos is now in the tent. So what does Sarah tell Abraham to do? Somebody else answer. Who wants to answer that?
Throw her out.
Throw her out. Now, that grieved Abraham. Why?
Well, Ishmael was his son.
Ishmael was his son. So God said, God told Abraham, this is the only reason that they left, that Hagar and Ishmael left, is because God told Abraham, it's going to be okay. Let them go. So he sent them out of the house, out of the tent. They go to the wilderness. They sit down on the ground. What happens?
She was worried her son would starve to death.
No, angels showed up. Mm-hmm. Angels showed up and ministered to them because Ishmael was part of the seed of Abraham. Mm-hmm. Now, if you look at the comparison of Ishmael, once his nation started to be established, and
Isaac
began, Esau, you know, his wife began, Esau and Jacob, how many tribes did Jacob have? How many sons?
12.
12. How many did Ishmael have? 12. There's something interesting here. It's a whole nother study. They each had 12 sons who established other nations. So it's an interesting read for this. If Abraham would not have jumped ahead in the promise, things might be a little different. Because what nation or ethnicity or religion comes from Ishmael? Islam. Even though you got Muhammad in there, the majority of the Arab world as we know it, they are all descendants of Ishmael. Follow it down the line. Egypt already existed. However, Ishmael's family definitely took over the known, of course, it wasn't called the Arab world, but they took over the non-Jewish world. So they too are uncountable. They have the same promise as Jacob does through Abraham. Three major religions come out of Abraham. Islam, Judaism, Christianity. So Abraham, if you see where I'm headed with this, Abraham has a very interesting place in world history. Not just religious, but cultural, society. There's a lot of things written about Abraham in other historical accounts throughout that part of the world. So it's a good read. Now, if you go to Samuel, you don't have to go to Samuel, but the portion of 1 Samuel where Saul is supposed to utterly destroy a nation, every man, woman, child, destroy all the animals, and destroy all the silver and the gold and all that sort of thing. Utterly annihilate the country. He did not. Now, he's somebody that, I'll tell you another little bit of a story on him. But he comes to Samuel and says, I have obeyed God. I have followed what he told me to do. Except that I wiped out the nation. And Samuel says to him, does the Lord want burned offerings and sacrifices as much as obedience to the Lord? There's the key. He wants the obedience to the Lord. Listen to this. Obeying is better than sacrificing. Paying attention is better than fat from rams. Because what Samuel had said to Saul is, if you wiped out that nation, what is the bleeding of sheep and the cattle and everything that I hear? What is going on? You did not follow God. Now, the judgment that fell on Saul at that point is that he lost his kingdom. It was at that point where Samuel was told to go find David, even though he didn't know it was David at the time, to go find another king because Saul was no longer serving God. That's a terrible thing to have happen. Okay? So my point to you is, if God says, hey, JC, Lisa, Kathy, John, Dave, I want you to go do this, this, and this, what do you think your response should be? Yeah, go do it. That's really what this is all about. Now, here's the other part of it. Because Abraham obeyed, he did eventually have Isaac. From Isaac came Esau and Jacob and the 12 tribes. That sort of thing. There's the 42 generations. Who's the end result? Jenny read it. Who's the end result of the 42 generations from Abraham to Mary?
Jesus.
Jesus, because Abraham did obey somewhere along the line of all these generations. Here comes Jesus. Now, what if Abraham had not obeyed God? God would have found somebody else. We'd still have Jesus. It's still going to happen. He just may go through somebody else. That's the same thing for us. If you are not doing something you're supposed to do, God may just say, okay, I'm not going to worry about it for right now. I'm going to use somebody else. Or does he do this instead? Hey, have you gone and done what I asked you to do? And pretty soon, does that voice get a little bit louder to you? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. The voice gets louder. And the Holy Spirit's not going to let go. He's tenacious. And he may go away for a while and things get real calm. You go, I don't have to do this. And then pretty soon he comes back and says, yeah, no, you still need to do it. Kind of like paying bills. Utility comes around once a month, right? Property tax comes around once a month. Or I mean once a year. Not once a month. It's okay, Jason. Relax. Okay? He's having a coronary over there. Okay? But some of these things happen all the time. That's the same way when God speaks to you in prayer, when you're in prayer, when he speaks to you through worship, or you're driving your car this way, when he speaks to you, listen. And write it down if you can. I don't mean driving and texting at the same time. You know, I don't recommend that. But pay attention to what God's saying. Write it down. Somewhere, write it down. What is the Lord saying to you? So here's four takeaways I want for you. What is God asking you to do that you are avoiding? What is God asking you to do that you are avoiding? What was that, Lord?
I didn't hear you right.
No, you couldn't have possibly asked me to do that. Okay, so what are you avoiding? What will it take? Number two, what will it take for you to obey? What will it take? Number three, what blessings are you missing out on because you haven't obeyed God? What blessings are you missing out on? And the last one. Has God made promises to you that he is going to fulfill, but he's asking you to obey? It's a simple thing, really, isn't it? Right? Death to the flesh. Do you have trouble with death to the flesh? I do. It always is bugging me. It hangs around. But you know what? You are mature Christians. You're not baby Christians. You're mature Christians. You're learning to walk in the ways of the Lord. So I encourage you. God speaks to you, write it down. He may say, do it now, do it later, or maybe. But listen to God and say, Spirit, I hear you. And it's okay to say, I'm not ready to do it. We're not slaves. We have free will. But it's okay to say, I'm not ready to do it. Be honest with God. He'll work with you. Can all God's people say amen?
Amen.
Amen.